Blog Talk Radio.
As soon as you move out of the black community into their community, it's fit for a period of time, but they are gone and you're right there all by yourself.
Black business, but the black man himself has to be made aware of the importance.
the business, we own and operate at least the businesses in our community, what we will be doing is developing a situation wherein we will actually be able to create employment for the people in the community. And once you can create some employment in the community where you live, it will eliminate the necessity of you and me having to act ignorantly and disgracefully, boycotting and picketing some cracker someplace else, trying to beg in for a job.
Thank you.
attitude, it changes your behavior pattern. And then you go on into some action. As long as you got a sit-down philosophy, you'll have a sit-down thought pattern. And as long as you think those sit-down thoughts, you'll be in some kind of sit-down action. They'll have you sitting in everywhere. It's not so good to refer to what you're going to do as a sit-in. That right there, castration. Right there, it brings you down. What goes with it? What think of the image of someone sitting? An old woman can sit. An old man can sit. A chump can sit. A coward can sit. Anything can sit. Well, you and I have been sitting long enough, and it's time today for us to start doing some standing and some fighting to back that up. When we look right at other parts of this earth upon which we live, we find that black, brown, red, and yellow people in Africa and Asia are getting their independence. They're not getting it by singing, "We shall overcome." No, they're getting it through nationalism. It is nationalism that brought about the independence of the people in Asia. Every nation in Asia gained its independence through the philosophy of nationalism. Every nation on the African continent that has gotten its independence brought it about through the philosophy of nationalism. And it will take black nationalism that to bring about the freedom of 22 million Afro-Americans here in this country where we have suffered colonialism for the past 400 years. America is just as much a colonial power as England ever was. America is just as much a colonial power as France ever was. In fact, America is more so a colonial power than they, because she's a hypocritical colonial power behind it. What do you call second-class citizenship? Why, that's colonization. Second-class citizenship is nothing but 20th century slavery. How are you going to tell me you're a second-class citizen? They don't have second-class citizenship in any other government on this earth. They just have slaves and people who are free. Well, this country is a hypocrite. They try and make you think they set you free by calling you a second-class citizen. No, you are nothing but a 20th century slave. Just as it took nationalism to move to remove colonialism from Asia and Africa, it'll take black nationalism today to remove colonialism from the backs and the minds of the 22 million Afro-Americans here in this country. And 1964 looks like it might be the year of the ballot or the vote. Why does it look like it might be the year of the ballot or the vote? Because Negroes have listened to the trickery and the lies and the false promises of the white man now for too long. And they're fed up. They've become disenchanted. They've become disillusioned. They've become dissatisfied. And all of this has built up frustrations in the black community that makes the black community throughout America today more explosive than all of the atomic bombs the Russians can ever invent. Whenever you got a racial powder keg sitting in your lap, you're in more trouble than if you had an atomic powder keg sitting in your lap. When a racial powder keg goes off, it doesn't care who it knocks out the way. Understand this, it's dangerous. And in 1964, this seems to be the year. Because what can the white man use now to fool us? After he put down that march on Washington, and you see all through that now. He tricked you, had you marching down to Washington. Yes, had you marching back and forth between the feet of a dead man named Lincoln and another dead man named George Washington, singing, "We shall overcome." He made a chump out of him. He made a fool out of him. He made you think you were going somewhere and you end up going nowhere but between Lincoln and Washington. So today our people are disillusioned. They've become disenchanted. They've become dissatisfied. And in their frustrations, they want action. And in 1964, you see this young black man, this new generation, asking for the vote ballot for the vote. That old Uncle Tom action is outdated. The young generation don't want to hear anything about the odds are against it. What do we care about odds? When this country here was first being founded, there were 13 colonies. The whites were colonized. They were fed up with this taxation without representation. So some of them stood up and said, liberty or death. So I went to a white school over here in Mason, Michigan. The white man made the mistake of letting me read his history books. He made the mistake of teaching me that Patrick Henry was a patriot. And George Washington wasn't nothing nonviolent about old Pat or George Washington. Liberty or death was what brought about the freedom of whites in this country from the English. They didn't care about the odds. Why, they faced the wrath of the entire British Empire. And in those days, they used to say that the British Empire was so vast and so powerful when the sun would never set on it. This is how big it was. Yet these 13 little scrawny states, tired of taxation without representation, tired of being exploited and oppressed and degraded, told that big British Empire, liberty or death. And here you have 22 million Afro-American black people today catching more hell than Patrick Henry ever saw. I'm here to tell you, in case you don't know, that you got a new generation of black people in this country who don't care anything whatsoever about us. They don't want to hear you, old Uncle Tom, handkerchief head, talking about the odds. No. This is a new generation. If they're going to draft these young black men and send them over to Korea or South Vietnam to face 800 million Chinese. You're not afraid of those odds, you shouldn't be afraid of these odds. Why does this mean to be such an explosive political year? Because this is the year of politics. This is the year when all of the white politicians are going to come into the Negro community. You never see them until election time. You can't find them until election time. They're going to come in with false promises. And as they make these false promises, they're going to feed our frustration. And this will only serve to make matters worse. I'm no politician. I'm not even a student of politics. I'm not a Republican, nor a Democrat, nor an American. And got sense enough to know. One of the 22 million black victims of the Democrats. One of the 22 million black victims of the Republicans, and one of the 22 million black victims of Americanism. When I speak, I don't speak as a Democrat or a Republican, nor an American. I speak as a victim of America's so-called democracy. You and I have never seen democracy. All we've seen is hypocrisy. When we open our eyes today and look around America, we see America not through the eyes of someone who has enjoyed the fruits of Americanism. We see America through the eyes of someone who has been the victim of Americanism. We don't see any American dream. We've experienced only the American nightmare. We haven't benefited from America's democracy. We've only suffered from America's hypocrisy. And the generation that's coming up now can see it. And I'm not afraid to say it. If you go to jail, so what? If you're black, you were born in jail. If you're black, you were born in jail. In the North as well as the South. Stop talking about the South. As long as you're south of the Canadian border, you're south. Don't call Governor Wallace a Dixie governor. Romney is a Dixie governor. $22 million black victims of Americanism are waking up, and they're gaining a new political consciousness, becoming politically mature. And as they become, develop this political maturity, they're able to see the recent trends in these political elections. They see that the whites are so evenly divided that every time they vote, the race is so close, they have to go back and count the votes all over again. And this, which means that any block, any minority that has a block of votes that stick together is in a strategic position. Either way you go, that's who gets it. You're in a position to determine who go to the White House and who stay in the doghouse. You're the one who has that power. You can keep Johnson in Washington, D.C., or you can send him back to his Texas cotton patch. You're the one who sent Kennedy to Washington. You're the one who put the present Democratic administration in Washington, D.C. The whites were evenly divided. It was the fact that you threw 80% of your votes behind the Democrats that put the Democrats in the White House. When you see this, you can see that the Negro vote is the key factor. And despite the fact that you are in a position to be the determining factor, what do you get out of it? The Democrats have been in Washington, D.C. only because of the Negro vote. They've been down there 4 years. And all other legislation they wanted to bring up, they brought it up and gotten it out of the way, and now they bring up you. And now they bring up you. You put them first, and they put you last. Because you're a chump. A political chump. In Washington, D.C., in the House of Representatives, there are 257 who are Democrats. Only 177 are Republicans. In the Senate, there are 67 Democrats. Only 33 are Republicans. The party that you backed controls two-thirds of the House of Representatives and the Senate, and still they can't keep their promise to you. Because you're a chump. Anytime you throw your weight behind a political party that controls two-thirds of the government, and that party can't keep the promise that it made to you during election time, and you are dumb enough to walk around continuing to identify yourself with not only a chump, but you're a traitor to your race. And what kind of alibi do they come up with? They try and pass the buck for the Dixiecrats. Now, back during the days when you were blind, deaf, and dumb, ignorant, politically immature, naturally you went along with that. But today, as your eyes come open and you develop political maturity, you're able to see and think for yourself. And you can see that a Dixiecrat is nothing but a Democrat in disguise. You look at the structure of the government, that controls this country is controlled by 16 senatorial committees and 20 congressional committees. Of the 16 senatorial committees that run the government, 10 of them are in the hands of Southern segregationists. Of the 20 congressional committees that run the government, 12 of them are in the hands of Southern segregationists. And they're going to tell you and me that the South lost the war. You today are in the hands of a government of segregationists, racists, white supremacists, who belong to the Democratic Party but disguise themselves as Dixocrats. Dixocrat is nothing but a Democrat. Whoever runs the Democrats is also the father of the Dixocrat. And the father of all of them is sitting in the White House. I say it again. You got a president who's nothing but a Southern segregationist. From the state of Texas, they'll link you in Texas as quick as they'll link you in Mississippi. Only in Texas, they link you with a Texas accent. In Mississippi, they link you with a Mississippi accent. And the first thing the cracker does, when he comes in power, he takes all the Negro leaders and invites them for a coffee. To show that he's all right. And those Uncle Tom can't pass up the coffee. They'll come away from the coffee table telling you and me that this man is all right. Because he's from the South. And since he's from the South, he can deal with the South. Look at the logic that they use. What about Eastland? He's from the South. Make him the president. If Johnson is a good man because he's from Texas, and being from Texas will enable him to deal with the South, Eastland can deal with the South better than Johnson. You've been misled. You've been had. You've been took. I was in Washington a couple of weeks ago while the senators were filibustering. And I noticed in the back of the Senate a huge map. And on this map, it showed the distribution of Negroes in America. And surprisingly, the same senators that were involved in the filibuster were from the states where there were the most Negroes. Why were they filibustering the civil rights legislation? Because the civil rights legislation is supposed to guarantee voting rights to Negroes in those states. And those senators from those states know that if the Negroes in those states can vote, those senators are down the drain.
That was Malcolm X talking about the ballot or the bullet. We got to get ready and vote. And I was listening to the governor of Illinois speak. And I listened to the governor of Georgia speak. And it's time for us to come up to vote. Time for us to make our mind up that we're going to support our families. That's very important. This is Crossing Over the Night with the Ancestors. And I thought I would go back to Dr. King, Malcolm X, Paul Armstrong, Bob Robinson, those that Harry Tubman, those that stood for equality and fought racism and white supremacy in America. As we cross over the night, I say, don't forget. We on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And don't forget that if you want to, and this is the harvest month. And I was telling Lorraine about the harvest. And I told her I had dreamed about her with some corn. And she was eating that corn, that means harvest. That means prosperity in your life. And that means that God is going to bless you in spite of what's going on. Maybe it seemed like the devil got the upper hand, but I say our ancestors. Call over our ancestors tonight. I want to reach out for Malcolm X, Dr. Martin Luther King, Paul Lonsdale by Robertson. These are our ancestors. In the Bible, Jesus told Moses, and God told Moses, I'm the God of your ancestors. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Never forget your ancestors and never forget what they will do for you. Some of you got to leave me to plant a seed. You can share this with somebody by giving them 515-605-9890. We own from 10 to 11, I mean from 9 to 11 each night. Tonight is Crossroads Answers. I share. And you Crossroads Answers, I want you to read tonight, Exodus 14:14. And I was telling last month to set a glass of water up. And I was telling you about spiritual things that are spiritual in your life. And I want to tell you, sometimes it looks like the devil comes to take over. But God is getting ready to carry you to the next level. I want you to plant a seed for harvest. This is the harvest month. And the Spirit already told me that I say the ancestor that it's going to work for you in spite of what's going on. Sometimes it seems like it ain't going on. One thing you got to have patience. One thing you got to understand what our ancestors went through. We haven't got our reparation, and ain't nobody talked about reparation to the president, to the mayor, to the governor. You so busy trying to be like somebody else, you're not able to ask for reparation. And give me all the stuff that you owe me. I want to take all the stuff that was owed to my ancestors. I want to take it back. You can write me at Post Office Box 289097, Chicago, Illinois, 60628. I ask you to write a letter with seven things you want. I want you to plan for this harvest month. And I want you to do that out of your spirit. Don't do it. Do it out of your spirit. If you got the need, I don't care how bad it looks, losing the house, losing the car. If you plant that seed, God's going to intercede. Oh, I wish I had somebody. The money's been locked down. God's going to open it up. Now, if you want to say, Bishop, I want to do this right now, go to Cash Out and go to the money sign Bishop, T-T-T, three T's, and you can do it right now on your phone. If you want to do it, I want you to get in this plant. See, I want to thank you, Bright Star, for the seed that you sent to the, for your harvest. Sherry, I want to thank you for the seed that you sent. And I want to tell you, Brother Sam Harris up in Minnesota, thank you and America for y'all seed for this ministry. I want to tell you, when you got a need, you got to see. The widow woman had a need. She put the die. She gave the prophet her last okay. By that time, she didn't die. Prophet, she was wise enough to see to the prophet. The prophet had the angel with him. And when people came to get food for her, the meal came up from the bottom. The oil was there. So if you got a need, you plant a seed. And that seed, this is harvest time. He said again, this is harvest time. It's time for you to get it together, man. One, it's time for you to trust in God. I want you to read Psalms 12, Psalms 80, Psalms 38. I want you to read Psalms 98. And I want you to read Let God Open Psalms 91, Pearl. Exodus 14:14. Harvest. The labor of people to harvest. I want to tell you, if the labor is plenty, but we got to have some people that can harvest. We got some people able to ask for what you want. Now, I'm going to give two people a prophecy. 30, 30, 30. Now, I'm going to give you what I'm saying to you. I want to tell you, Frank, your father, and your mother Ruth, both in the spirit world, they don't want you to sell that land that's in the bottom. They don't want you. Somebody want to buy it, and they want for all. They say, hold on to it. And I want you to do that. And they want you to begin to do what y'all sat down and talked about before they crossed over. And they want you to read Psalms 109. Mm-hmm. And Frank said he wants you to do much better. And your mother is waving you off to leave the alcohol and beer alone. And your ancestors is around them now. I want to go to you 23:23 as I cross over. I want to tell you tonight, there's no salvation to everything out here and the ancestors. The ancestor is real. I don't know where my bill is. I ain't rung my bill in a while. I'm going to ring this bill for the ancestor. Maybe it'll get what you want to do. Now, some of you right now, I want to tell you, I want to go to 75:59. I want to go to you. And when you were searching out that stuff, your father told me to tell you, you continue, because you're going to find out it's been lies told from the lawyer. It's been your sister and held information back from you. Don't get upset. He's standing up smiling. He's standing up out that chair. And when he sits back down, something's going to happen. Okay? Now, what I'm saying, he's standing up. He said, lots of stuff been held back. Lots of paperwork been messed up. Now, he's standing up. He's just standing up beside the chair. But when he sat down back in that chair, for this year, it's going to be some interruption. It's going to be something you're going to find out that you didn't know. And with your sister and her family side, and the lawyer, that supposed to take it, they lying. But when he sit down in that chair, all that stuff gonna be brought out. I want you to read Psalm 17 and Psalm 50. And for your financial blessing, glory, hallelujah. Psalm 100. It's a door finna open up for you in spite of the witchcraft. Thought about the girl that dreamed about them dogs. Two dogs were sent to your family. Two dogs were sent to her family. They could not mess with you. They're messing with your finance. They try to mess with your relationship. But when your father sat back in that chair, I don't know if he's going to slam down, but when he sat back, you're going to know that everything that's been here is going to come out. That's you. Thank you, Kansas. I want to go to you, tell you all is well. I see your mother sitting in the chair laughing, saying that what you say is right, that the family is fighting each other. Before they talk to you, they talk to somebody else, and then they want to know what you say. Okay, but the young boy that's in the spirit He's walking around. He said the only somebody really helped him was you. The rest of them had their hands out. And he's telling me to tell you, those people that robbed him and left him for dead, for this year out, some things going to take place and you're going to know why. I say. And thank you, kind spirit. I just see that coming as the spirit talk. Now, when I go to you, 21:17, I want you to read Psalm 93, and it seems like there's a spirit to lift you up to another level. It's some money tied up. And the spirit come to me through your mother and your ancestors that is going to be opened up for you. And as I look at you, 81:38, the spirit said for you to do some things. I'm talking to 81:38 tonight. I see your mother sitting in the chair, and I see all of them that passed on is there. She won't let them say nothing. Tell me, shut up. These are your siblings she's talking to. And she said, they ain't got the privilege, Pearl, to talk, or Mary to talk. She is talking because they didn't do what she told them to do in the spirit. Okay? So that's one of the things happened. She want 81:38. She said she wants you to read 58 number Psalms and Psalm 75. I say. She said that will open up a door for you. Thank you, Candace. Cross over the ancestors tonight. Give us an opportunity to look at new things that happen to us. And I want to say tonight, if you got a need to plant that seed quick, fast, and in the earth, I'm praying for you, Sister Lorraine. I'm praying for you, Sister Kim. I'm praying for you, Mother Francis, down in New Orleans. And I want to tell you, Dr. Gibson down in New Orleans. You didn't call me. Call me, Dr. Gibson. I'm praying much for you, Sister Scott. God bless you. I want you to let you know all is well. I wanna say this tonight. I wanna pray. Father God, we wanna take back all that the devil has stole. We wanna take back all the evil done. We want our reparation. And I want everybody to read Psalm 119 tonight. 7 verses of it before you go to sleep. I'm gonna read the whole thing. I say. But I want to leave with this spirit tonight. I want to take back everything that the devil stole. I want to take it back. And the devil loose his hold. I say. Now, I'm telling you, if you got a need this month, the harvest month, oh, hallelujah. Somebody problem with their throat needs to call me. And somebody been having a problem with their eyes. Need to call me. God said things gonna work out. I talked to Dr. Kristen. She said she's teaching class. And I told her to continue to teach class. When God puts you somewhere, it's for a reason. Your disobedience or you not listening to what God is saying to you. I say. And I want to say it to you. You that's on drugs, alcohol, you can stop. A young man was telling me that the doctor told him that he had a hole in his gut and he keep drinking, it's going to open up. And he said, Bishop, pray for me to stop. I prayed for him. He lost a lot of drinking friends. He stopped drinking. Same way with snorting cocaine and snorting opioids. You can die instantly. Why you give your life back to the devil when God that brought you. God got an assignment for you. God got a job for you. I say, your ancestors looking up, the angels, the saints looking for you. Don't forget Exodus 14:14. And when you read Exodus 14, plant your seed for the harvest to the seed of Abraham. Go to my website, theseedofabrahamyodelsite.com. Go to PayPal and hit it. Else, go to Cash Out. Hit the money sign, Bishop TT, and instantaneously, whatever you see, you're going to give it back. You know, I was saying about that corn. That corn let me know it's harvest time. And I want you to, I got a message for every one of you private. But if you don't call me private, I'm not going to give it to you. It's something going to make things work for you quick, fast, and in a hurry. I want to take back tonight. I want to leave this spirit with you. Take back everything the devil stole. My money, my health, my husband, my wife, my family.
Come on, put your hands together. Come on, put them together like this. Yes. Come on, y'all. We're going to take everything that the devil stole.
I'll say our ancestors, east, west, north. We're going to take it back, the gold, the money. You don't know, some of you don't know, the devil took things from you, but tonight, I decree, glory, thank you. I decree your healing tonight. Devil, lose your hope.
Come on, put your hands together. Come on, put them together like this. Yes. Come on, y'all. We're going to take everything that the devil stole.
Hey!
the devil's head. Yeah, that's it. Come on, make the devil mad. Stop on his head. Let him know you're going to get your stuff. And you want it all back. I mean everything. You might as well go on the train. See some of y'all going to...
I'm ghetto wicked.
Miami.